from ESPN, Mr. Jake Trotter. What's up, Jake?
What's going on, guys? I just tuned in my Heisman watch top five, and I did have Kyler Murray in it.
That was very timely. I would have to say, if I was filling one out, he would probably be in my top three. I would probably have at this point, without really looking at it, I'm not going to dock Will Greer for not being able to play. I'd have Tua, Will Greer, and Kyler Murray probably be in my top three.
That was my top three in no particular order. I think there's a pretty decent gap between three and four. I would imagine on our Heisman watch this week, there's going to be a bunch of different guys that get votes at four and five. I have A.J. Dillon from Boston College, number four, and how do you say his name? Laviska Shenault Jr. from Colorado, who's just had an amazing start for them at number five. But I think that most top threes are probably going to be a combination of Tua, Greer, and Kyler Murray.
It's way too early to do this. Remember, Baker Mayfield didn't make his push until later in the season last year, or really start to get noticed, even though he had been to New York. I think Trace McSorley is going to have a chance. He hasn't done anything really to hurt himself so far this year. Their defense has been a problem, and he's going to have some big games coming up, like Ohio State at home, where he can make a big move. So I don't think he's out of it.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State, had a pretty good game against TCU. I don't think he was, dominant by any stretch, but McSorley and Haskins will square off not this weekend, but the weekend after, and I think the winner of that game will definitely reemerge in the Heisman hunt. I do think Ed Oliver is probably toast after his defense gave up 63 points to Dusty's Texas Tech Red Raiders. And, you can't put that all on Oliver, but it's just hard when your team gives up that many points as a defensive player to be a Heisman contender.
Hey, not my Red Raiders so much as they are Mark Rogers. That was his team to retire lock of the week. Nailed it.
They're back. Text back to what we thought they are. They're a team that can move the football. They can't defend anyone. That's never going to change.
Sorry, David Gibb. I love your personality, and I appreciate you, but it ain't, go get turnovers, because getting stops, we know it. You know it. It ain't happening.
It is weird how Texas Tech just can't. They can't play any defense, and they have to win like they did Saturday, which was score 60 points. I mean, they won a lot of games in shootouts, and, with all the expectations for the defense, they're just not any good defensively. And, what's interesting is they play a team this weekend that just might be good on defense. I am cautiously saying that because we've talked about Oklahoma State having good defenses and then something to get lit up by somebody like Texas Tech. But I was in Stillwater Saturday, and I came away thoroughly impressed with the Oklahoma State defense, particularly up front with Brailford and those guys. They can get after the passer. So they sacked Rippon seven times. And, I don't think it's let's compare it this way. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that this might be the best defense that Mike Gundy's had since taking over in 05.
I thought I'm with you. I talked about it earlier. I was most impressed from Oklahoma State on Saturday with the way they dominated Boise State's offensive line, both getting to the quarterback and completely shutting down Alexander Mattison and Boise State's rushing attack. That, by the way, is a team they're averaging almost 7 yards a carry. So, again, I know the opponents, but they did go to Troy and put it on a team that just went to Lincoln, Nebraska and won. So I'm not buying into people that say, well, this is Boise's no good. They're not a good team. They are a good team. Oklahoma State just a heck of a lot better than what I and I think most people thought. So, but yeah, the way Jim Knowles put those guys in position to have success, I think stood out as much as anything from Saturday.
Yeah, one thing that they're doing is they're moving guys around at the line of scrimmage on obvious passing downs. The rushing three, the rushing four, they are very multiple, and they've got guys. When you look at Brailford and Owens and Bundage. Calvin Bundage, who was ridiculous again Saturday, that can get after the passer. And when you've got speed and versatility up front, I think you've got a chance to be compelling defensively. And, as long as the corners continue to hold up, which they look pretty good again on Saturday, and the young safeties play well alongside Edison Magruder, you know, there's just a lot to like about this defense, and they're going to have to, you know, contrary to contrast to Texas Tech, they're going to have to win some games defensively because they're not, you know, I think quite as dynamic in the passing game as maybe they've been in the past. But, you know, I think they're good enough there. And if they play defense the rest of the way like they did Saturday, they'll win a lot of games. Oklahoma State, guys, is going to be favored most likely in their next six, including Saturday against Texas Tech. You know, it's not unthinkable that they could be 9-0 when they go to Bedlam on November 10th.
That'd be great for the state. I'll tell you, Malcolm Rodriguez has been really good. Nope, not really highly recruited. Not many people wanted him out of Wagner, but he was an Oklahoma kid where they took a chance on him, and it's paid off. He was a better offensive player than in high school than he was a defensive player, more known for that. But they've turned him into a really good safety.
The Pokes have had some good success with Wagner defensive backs.
What'd you think about in Ames, Iowa, a game that – a little bit closer than I thought. I had it 38-17. And the thing that I think, you know, kind of the opposite of Oklahoma State, where it feels like, you know, starting to get more and more trust for that defense, I came away with more questions, especially with the tackling out in open space. I just thought for a team that really struggled at times last year, Iowa State being one of the eye-opening games where the tackling was bad, I thought it was really bad once again on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the OU defense, they played two quarterbacks that were making their first career starts. And then Robinson from Florida Atlantic, and then what's-his-face from UCLA, whose dad is already criticizing Chip Kelly on social media, which is great. Great start there for the Chip Kelly era at UCLA. And then they faced a backup quarterback. So they haven't really gone up against an above-average quarterback yet, and still – just a lot of problems tackling in space. Whenever Hakeem Butler got the ball, it usually resulted in a big play because the Sooners can bring him down. You know, I thought they did a reasonably decent job on Montgomery up front, but, you know, Iowa State with a backup quarterback is not even going to be in the top three or four of teams that OU is going to have to face with more firepower. So they're going to have to play better defensively. On the other hand, I thought the offense going up a very solid defense was terrific. Kyler Murray has just been under control and yet electrifying at the same time. And just the speed across the board at wide receiver is so tough to deal with when you got Lamb and Hollywood Brown. And, you know, Sermon maybe can't go to the house the way that Rodney Anderson can, but he is tough to bring down at 6'2", 230 pounds. And, you know, he trucked some people in that Iowa State game. I think Oklahoma offensively is as good as they were last year when they led the country in total offense. They've been that impressive so far.
Sometimes I think the schemes on defense, they don't play very tight. They allow a lot of space on the field, and that, I think that hurts them when it comes to tackling. But, man, some of their best defensive performances they've saved for the games that they've needed them. I mean, last year, two of their better defensive performances were in the Big 12 championship game and against TCU. Now, in Stillwater, it wasn't a great defensive performance, but they did enough to win. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the offense is kind of scoring. So I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of philosophical change there. I still believe what I believed before the Iowa State game is that they got some better players in the field. A couple of their guys that have played very well didn't play very, very well, which were the corners. I didn't think they were very good in that game.
Yeah, and when you look at Oklahoma going forward, I mean, it's going to be a while, I think, before they are really tested because really across the board in the Big 12, we're looking at a backloaded schedule. You know, Oklahoma State plays the three top teams, you know, OU, West Virginia, and TCU at the end. TCU gets Oklahoma, I believe, on October 20th. And then West Virginia doesn't play any of the top three teams until November as well. So this conference race could be pretty static until we get to the end of the season. And, you know, this Oklahoma defense is going to have some time to kind of maybe work some things out before they have to face the speed that TCU is going to bring. I think TCU is pretty good, guys. I mean, Sean Robinson impressed me. He made some mistakes. The whole team made some mistakes in that game. But I would put them, if you're going to break down the Big 12 now, I mean, I think you've got the Oklahoma schools, West Virginia. I would put TCU in that tier now as one of the four teams I think that could get to Arlington when it's all said and done.
I totally agree with that. It does feel like it's a four-horse race for now. And I thought overall, I thought it was a good weekend for the Big 12, Jake. I mean, I know TCU lost, but I walked away from that game with as much or maybe even more respect for TCU than when I went into it. And though USC's down, Texas did what they were supposed to. And, hey, let's face it, Kansas is no longer the worst Power 5 school in college football because they put them things on Rutgers. So I think overall, man, aside from – you and I taking Baylor, which was a terrible pick. I thought the Big 12 represented itself very, very well this weekend.
The Big 12 is right now rated, according to ESPN.com, we take a poll when we submit our power rankings, ranking the different conferences. The Big 12 is number two behind the SEC right now.
David, how many? I know Kansas doesn't want to fire David Beatty. I think they want to be able to at least, you know, not churn coaches. He hasn't done a whole lot. If they win four games this year, he's keeping his job, right? I don't know what else they're going to win. But maybe one more game, enough to keep it.
Yeah, they have a winnable game this weekend. I mean, they're playing Dusty and I's Baylor Bears. And just on a day when the rest of the Big 12 looked pretty good, they looked hapless. I mean, Duke didn't have their starting quarterback. I think they were down like 6 or 7 starters. Duke was, and they obliterated Baylor in Waco. We had a game this weekend with massive basement implications between the Jayhawks and the Bears, and Vegas had Baylor as a 7.5-point favorite. The way Kansas is playing right now, I don't know that I don't that line might be a little bit too high.
Ooh, sounds like an early in the week pick. You want,
when a team burns you like that bad, you can't go against them the next week.
Come on,
I can't. I'm not picking this game because I'm too messed up mentally from my lock of the week, just getting, you know, mowed down on its home field. But I do think, like, in my Big 12 rankings this week, I had Kansas 9. I had to move them up.
They've been impressive. Central
Michigan. You moved them past Baylor?
And Rutgers.
Baylor. Well, I mean, listen, if I lock you and you do that, you're
that
dropping in the
range.
Can't make the picks personal, man. Come on. They're just for the picks game. You can't make them personal. But since you're speaking of locks, I finally hit on my lock, and it was a master lock, as a hunt man would say, is I took the North Texas Mean Green. And on that note, Jake, we have to let you go because the head ball coach of North Texas, fresh off their
44-17
dismantling of the Arkansas Razorbacks, he's going to join the Monsters of the Midday next. So, Jake, I'm sorry, you ain't got to leave. You got to get up out of here, though, man.